On today's show, we're going to be talking about getting into the film industry with freebies and talking about working in equipment houses and how that can affect your career in lighting, being a lighting technician.
The Tungsten Show.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. It's the Tungsten Show.
Welcome. So this is our episode 2, and in this episode 2, hopefully we are just two of us so far, but hopefully it's the last time we're two of us, yeah. Because we got somebody already lined up for our next episode, and it's Nathan Ford, young gaffer. I believe he's our age, maybe a bit older, but he's already been in the industry for a couple of years.
Which, our age for context, 21, 22, 21, that's kind of age.
Exactly. Looking forward for that. On this episode, as in the last one, we didn't touch much on your history about you, how you worked in the industry, how you started in the industry, as we didn't have much time. Because my story was too long, right?
a lot of editing.
Yes. So tell me, Morgan, where did all of your industry started? What was your first job, let's say, in proper job in the film industry?
I wouldn't say that there was one particular job that kind of brought me in. I worked in some different roles. You know, I worked in camera for a bit. I did some running, but I think it was when I started covering for people. There was a summer that I realized if I kept accepting people's cover. There was a couple of lighting technicians that I worked with. I actually DP'd for something. DP'd a project. And this gaffer called Alejandro, he worked on the project, so did Edzis. And later down the line, I thought, you know what, I want to be a lighting technician. And I spoke to a load of the lighting technicians I knew, and I said, look, if you need cover, just let me know. And it was a case of, you know, you do some freebies at the start, and you just keep going, keep doing the freebies. Then low-paid jobs.
It's interesting, yeah, that you're saying that you like to do freebies, because I've been always against them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, and rightly so. Obviously, within certain circumstances, you should be against them, because if the production has money, then you should think quite seriously. But at the start, you should think about doing freebies, because you're maybe not necessarily worth the day rate that Beck2 suggests.
Basically, if you're not getting enough work, freebies won't hurt as long as you can pay those bills. But the bills is the problem always, right? Especially if you're living in London.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that if they haven't got work and there's a freebie there, then you should accept it, really.
I remember when we lived together, I worked in cinema. That was my main source of income.
Not cinema lighting, everyone. This is like...
It's cinema.
Literally
hospitality, yes.
Hospitality.
Yes. Selling tickets, prepping drinks and food for people.
Grafting. Grafting to try and get where you want to be.
It was just a nice job. I actually got that because I did a freebie for a film.
See, there you go, guys.
but it didn't give me a job in the film. It gave me a job later in the cinema, which paid my bills, right? But the point is that I don't remember you doing a job like that, everyday job. I remember you being, you know, hustling, being freelance all the time.
Yeah, so,
start.
I mean, it's interesting you bring that up, because most of my income actually hasn't come from, you know, jobs on set. I went down the kind of corporate route in terms of videography. I did corporate videos, I did the promotional videos. I think you do that at the start. If you do that at the start, it can finance getting into the film industry, because doing freebies is a very cost-effective.
And you get used to working as a freelancer.
You do, yeah. Because doing the freebies costs a lot, and you need to be able to... I mean, doing all the corporate things, it helps you with learning how to pay your taxes and all that. But it pays for that time to be able to focus on
and
drama,
did these corporate things help you to get in film?
No, but they certainly paid for it. You don't get very much experience from corporate videos. You can certainly take experience from cinema lighting, and you can put that into corporate videos, and you can realize how much better you can make those.
You can learn from film how to make corporate work better, right?
I mean, my corporate work now is so much better than it was before I was in lighting.
And you still do it?
I do, because, I mean, I regard it still as quite a creative thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being able to just be behind the camera and actually have some control over lighting. I mean, I treat my corporate work so much less like videography and more like cinematography now. If I've got a job, then I'll be lighting it properly and I'll be getting people in, because I'm trying to
achieve that standard. Yeah, to get it better, to make it look better. While you were doing this corporate work, you were doing those freebies, right?
Yeah, so...
Freebies for whom?
So I was doing freebies for multiple people. I'd say a lot of it's like, it's just whatever you can grab on Facebook. Whatever I could grab on Facebook, I took.
Yeah.
And then really the stuff which is worth taking is the NFTS stuff. Whenever you get offered an NFTS freebie, I think you should take it. Obviously, push, see if they can pay you. As a lighting technician, they might be able to. As a gaffer, they almost definitely will be able to. But yeah, I sparked on a couple of different NFTS jobs, and I met some gaffers and some DOPs, which I work with today. And those favors, they've really kind of, they've played out and they've really helped me. One of the best NFTS jobs was one I did. I was sparking when Reflectric was working with a short film, and I met them on the job. I didn't really know what they were doing. They were doing all this stuff with reflective lighting, and I was amazed, really. It was kind of that first moment where I saw reflective lighting and kind of your capability with it.
That's interesting, because you're saying reflective lighting, you mean by company Reflectic, right?
Yeah, so Reflectric.
Reflectric.
Yeah, they were trying to get themselves out there through short films.
So they worked for NFTS for free.
I'm not sure on the specific details, but they were certainly doing some favors, because, you know, NFTS cinematographers, they're going to repay the favors. They really are.
And Reflectic is the thing we mentioned in episode one, and I think you can also look up their link from the episode one description. We will probably
we're gonna try and get them on. Jono and Jason are the two gaffers that run.
How long they've been in the industry for?
A year, I think. A year, actually, quite recently.
Quite recently. What did they do before? They were like Sparks, or
they're both gaffers, and I think Jono's done some. He's been a cinematographer for a while.
I see.
But I think we'll go into that a little bit more when we have them on board
and ask these questions then to them. You've been recently working a lot with them on lots of BBC stuff.
Yeah, so I just got off BBC Monologues, which was a lot of fun.
I'm jealous.
It was well paid.
It was very artistic.
It was a series of different monologues, and the lighting setups were different. It was all in a studio, so, you know, actually quite nice. You're not having to haul equipment kind of through the forest. Me and Edis have got a couple of stories of that from
we did a
Netflix pilot where
which is not on Netflix yet, and I hope to get it.
We've got
Netflix.
Our fingers crossed. I suppose, in essence, even though it was paid, could you classify that as a freebie? It was a favor
because everybody there was, if anybody got paid, nobody got paid more than £100 per day, and the days were like 12 or 14 hour long.
So everybody was so nice. There was a low budget, but everybody wanted the same thing. They just wanted this project to succeed.
To be honest, you got it on because I invited you to come on it, right? And to be honest, how I got it is also because I did the freebie.
And there you go.
There you go. So freebies are the way to start. I did the freebie for Ben Malaby film, for a lecturer, right? He's comedy director. To be honest, we could get him on board, to be honest.
We'll get a comedy director on.
Why not?
Get him to talk about lighting.
It should be fun.
I think it's really been a good, for this past year, and especially the summer, has been exceptional for kind of the development in getting into the lighting industry.
You've been doing jobs now every month, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, every week, really.
Because you used to work for Pixie Pixel as a freelancer.
Yeah.
And so did
Edsis. Edsis works as Pixie
Pixel. I worked at Pixie Pixel, but I didn't work as freelancer. I worked in there in-house.
Full-time.
Full-time, yeah. For 4 months. And then I got sick of it.
Yeah.
Enough of just warehouse, you know, it's just...
It's hard. Warehouse work is very hard.
It's not about warehouse work, but it's about when you're employed full-time somewhere. You don't have time to do your own stuff as a freelancer.
Agreed.
Because all your time, because they expect you to work overtime, and then it's just, when you got your free time, you just want your free time to be free rather than go and work somewhere,
yes.
Right? So full-time work for me, and I realized there's not the thing how you can work in film industry.
And seeing Edsis and how he was enjoying it, he was learning so much,
yeah.
But he was seeing these pains of working full time. So I basically jumped in and I said...
So, and I did that because of... I joined Bechtel. I did NA 7909, that's what it's called. It's BS 7909. And I did that and I joined Bechtel. And then I asked the lighting branch in Bechtel to ask them what, you know, the advice, what should I do to move in? And And they told me I should go and work for a rental house, and that's why I joined the Pixie. I quit the cinema, went to Pixie. You know, changing my whole career now. I'm going to start a new thing. I'm going to be in the industry now.
And I thought it was crazy. I thought it was absolutely crazy. But later on,
I paid more than cinema. More stable hours. But I didn't have time to go to uni by the time. But what I realized, by working full time there, you don't have time to do your freelance work, whether you joined Pixie Pixel just as a freelancer.
Yeah,
I'm
so
kind of jealous
them,
about that.
I sent
so you
him
got
a message.
The same experience.
Ed just left, and I knew he left. and I sent him a message, and I said,
just
"Look,
use the situation."
I did, and to be honest, I like hustling like that.
Yeah.
I just saw this opportunity. I went, "Well, you know what? I want to learn the kit, but I'm not prepared to work full time." However, I went to them and I said, "Look, I know you're losing somebody now. You're going to have one less person."
Is that
on the
what
floor.
You said?
And I said, "Look, I'm prepared to work for you guys." And they said, "You need to come on full time." I said, I can't. And they, to be honest, Axel, the manager, tried to persuade me. Previous manager of Pixie Pixel, we're going to be getting him on as a guest very soon. Yeah. So I went up to them. I said, "Look, I can work freelance. I'd love to work freelance if you give me the opportunity." And they accepted, and I started working freelance. I think I was the first freelancer there, really, which has now become a theme.
It's interesting, yeah, because when I was working, I don't remember many freelancers being involved at all.
Yeah.
It was mostly just full time people employed, and there was one guy who was part time. But there were only freelancers they got was maybe once a month. When it was when it was something, you know, hard to do that nobody else wanted to do, but there was
like building shelves or something.
Building shelves or just easy jobs, you know, that somebody else can do. Then they got those, what was it called, the agency people in who don't have any experience.
And just so anybody that hasn't got experience in a kit house, when you're working and you get, I mean, it's great, but when you're working and you get people like agency people in, it's the hardest thing because they come in and everybody says, you know, they're going to help out. They arrive, they know absolutely nothing. It's incredibly painful.
It's not incredible. They can be helpful if you give them proper.
But
you really have to
direct them.
You have to
otherwise they're just smoking outside.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think let's try and get somebody working in a kit house at the moment. I've got our friend Charles Power. Who's working in Pixie Pixel at this current moment, and we'll try and get him on the show.
It's a good idea to have a chat with somebody. Who's
so we can
already,
get we can yeah. get that perspective because I mean he's loving it. He's loving it.
And he's working there as full time, which
yes.
is bizarre for us a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, which we
yeah.
We're,
but at the same time, I can't understand him because he wants the security.
Yes.
So it's a good job for security. what I realized that by that point when I was working, there was no freelancers there. And by the time I left, when after summer, after two or three months, I came back, and I also joined them as a freelancer pool. There was suddenly freelancer pool.
Yeah, there's a
and
lot.
I feel like
lot.
That's
yeah.
because of you, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I started it off. I suggested, yeah. And to be honest, I think they realized the advantage of bringing on people that were experienced, people on set, like bringing people that are using.
Exactly. They know how to light it up and test it. And, yeah. Exactly. They know what's what.
They know what's safe as well, because these
the other agency people don't.
Yeah,
the most painful thing is to explain somebody, you know, what's Fan-10 cable. And then find it and find a place where it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I mean, to get somebody that's never seen a Fan-10 cable to go and look around a huge equipment.
And those agency people don't have any interest to learn this stuff also, so it's really hard to work with them in that sense. Whether you were very keen to learn equipment, that's the reason why you're working Kitchroom, right?
Yeah.
So that's the good part of it. But yeah, basically what Beck to people told me, I should work in Kitchroom and they're going to get me on the jobs, on the, you know, on the road. But the reality was that they wanted me to stay in the Kitchroom rather than go on jobs. And that was a bit frustrating because after those 3 months, I learned all the kit there. Now I wanted this kit I saw and I learned, and I see what kit is available now.
Yeah.
I want to have a hands-on in real life and see how it works in actual set.
Yeah, because I think that's the thing is when you're working in an equipment house, you just can't get that.
And the thing is, the people that...
Sometimes you don't even open a box, do you? Sometimes you're just moving boxes and you're just thinking, well, what the fuck is in that box?
When you set it up, right?
When you're on set, you might arrive there when you're in kind of you're developing your skills. You arrive and you think, I've not used this light. However, you have to get it set up. So you put it on the stand, you find the on button, you switch it on, you find out where all the switches are and the dials. And actually, you leave that set and you've done the job, but now your experience with that light, you don't necessarily get that in an equipment house unless it's quiet and they're flexible
and they
let you.
Yeah, let you play around.
Let you play around.
Which I don't normally because it's busy. But to be honest, if you're working there as full time, they train you to flash every single light.
Mm-hmm.
To flash it, that's not a problem. I learned that. I learned how to use the equipment. It's just what I was lacking from my experience was that to see it in real life. How does it work in the set? How do you use the kit that's there in actual film? And I realized I'm not learning anything out of those 3 months.
I hit a point as well. I hit a point where I just decided, you know what? It's hard work. It's harder than working as just a lighting technician.
That's
freelance.
For sure. Which is, job is job.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But I started to think, you know, it's not, once you've learned a lot of the equipment, it's not worth the manual labor if you're not learning.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
At that point I was like, look, I'm not going to work as much anymore. I think I'm going to tone it back. And as I toned it back,
I started to get
more freelance work, and it did. It worked out particularly well for me.
What was the last time you were in Pixie?
3 months ago.
So you haven't done any single job. You don't need it anymore.
You're just
full-time freelancer now.
Yeah, indeed. But it's, you know, it's nice to have because
it's nice to have the security.
When it's winter and the jobs start to kind of become scarce and there's some demand in Pixie Pixel, you know, I'll be back. I'll say hi to the guys and that'll be great. Which actually brings me to the other point of when I was working there, and I was working there quite a lot freelance, Axel, what's his name? Axel, second name?
Morin.
Axel Morin.
Yes.
He got me an opportunity on,
On a job.
It was a big job. It was ITV. Endeavour. It's big ITV production. They needed cover for one of the Sparks. And Axel recommended me.
But he was able to do that only because you were a freelancer.
Yes.
In those 4 months I worked with him there, he wasn't able to offer me these jobs.
Yeah.
And he didn't because they didn't.
When I got this opportunity, Edsus was very jealous because he went there and he
not
worked
only
for...
jealous, but even a bit,
pissed off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I've worked there for longer than you. I've been in better, I know that I'm in better relationship with Axel than you, and then he's offering you jobs where he didn't offer me. You know, it was sort of that, what's wrong? There's something wrong with it. There's
something wrong with the system. Because, I mean, I can imagine joining full time. You're thinking, I mean, they do say as well.
They told me.
Pitch this, this kind of dream of freelance opportunities.
They told me I'm going to work there for 2 years. They're going to train me. They're going to do all my qualifications for me. They're going to get me on the set, and after those 2 years, they're going to let me do whatever I want. Sort of, you know, I'll be there in the set.
Yeah.
That doesn't work like that, and that frustrates me. That so much frustrates me.
Yeah.
I'm still questioning. I still don't have answers for that. So what's the way in industry in lighting? Because everybody seems to be
saying... There's so many different ways, isn't there?
There are different ways, but the proper way to get in the big industry seems to be going through the kit room. But those are the, you know, old guys who are the old boys who are telling us that
advice. I feel like if you work in an equipment house, in a kit room for, you know, once you hit 2 years, I mean, I feel like you're going to lose whatever creativity you had. To the fact
no,
that
definitely that, no, I mean, there's no creativity in that.
You lose your life because of how consuming it is. I mean, working the overtime. I mean, I work 3 days in a kit room, and I'm thinking, battered. How the hell do people have to come back tomorrow? I'm like, I'm gonna have the longest lie-in, and I'm gonna enjoy this rest. I deserve this rest. And here's fucking Edsus working 6 days in a row. Not getting any opportunities off it.
No, exactly.
Getting taxed as well. Blinking hell. You can't even do your expenses.
No, I can't
on
even
it.
Do my expenses because I've been taxed from, you know, working for a company. But I get my holiday paid on top, which you don't.
Yeah, indeed.
So there are some benefits for working for a company. What are you working on at the moment? What's your next thing?
What's next project?
Next project.
Well, tomorrow I'm gaffing tomorrow with a DP that I've worked with quite a lot.
Is that our NFTS DP?
He's not an NFTS DP, okay. No.
What's his
again,
name?
You know, it's from a freebie. Just gonna have a biscuit. Do you like a nut, Edges?
Yeah, sure. We are stepping up and having a little
snack. I mean, we've got some quality on this podcast. The Tungsten Show, now with biscuits.
And I feel like we should end on this, you know. Tungsten Show and biscuits. That's it, guys.
Thank
you for listening. Thank you for watching. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share with people.
Anybody in lighting. To be honest, anybody you know.
Would be interested
to listen about filming industry. Share it.
Yeah.
Okay, see you next time, guys.
Bye-bye.
The Tungsten Show.